This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with T. Xiao Yik and Lim Soo Ann. Here are our stories today. Social media personality Nas Daily's latest video criticizes reactions to cultural appropriation. We discuss whether platforms like his oversimplify and misrepresent complex issues.
And on our second story, thousands of people have been thronging the National Art Gallery to see Leonardo da Vinci's famed paintings, but the masterpieces are digital reproductions. So is this still art?
So we're asking you that on Twitter as well. Do you consider digital, even high-tech digital reproductions of Da Vinci's paintings to be art? Your options are yes or no. So you can tweet us your answers, take the poll at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us your thoughts at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So before we get to our first story, here are the monkeys with I'm a Believer.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was The Monkees with I'm a Believer. And now our first story. So over the weekend, popular social media personality Nas, who is the founder of the Nas Daily platform, shared a video on cultural appropriation, or rather why he thinks people are overreacting to cultural appropriation.
And the video was a response to criticism he had gotten to another video that he did last year, where Nas and his girlfriend went to India and held a fake Indian wedding. So at that time, many commenters criticized him for appropriating Indian culture in that video.
And just to backtrack a little, Nas's full name is Nasir Yassin, and he shot to fame by starting a Facebook page called Nas Daily. And this is where he committed to travelling and sharing a one-minute video daily for 1,000 days. Mm-hmm. And so this 1,000 days ended back in January this year, and then from then on, he's been making one video a week for 100 weeks.
So in this video that he's just put out, mm-hmm. Nas claims that his quote-unquote fake Indian wedding video, mm-hmm. where he and his girlfriend got Indian clothes, Indian henna, Indian friends, Indian music. My throat does not approve of this Indian wedding. and then a boat, a horse. He claims that this Indian wedding was beloved by Indian people who saw the video, mm-hmm. but that he got into trouble with what he calls the Western world, mm-hmm. where they accused him of cultural appropriation.
Mm. Yeah, and then in this video that he just put out, he goes on to define cultural appropriation as, and I quote, taking things from a culture that is not yours without showing that you understand or respect the culture. And then he goes on to say that his fake wedding is not cultural appropriation, but cultural appreciation.
I just want to add in that in this video, he actually opened up a book to read.
Yes, a dictionary definition of cultural appropriation.
And you know that's not true because nobody uses actual physical dictionaries anymore.
So the thing is, it's not that his definition is wrong per se, but it's a very simplistic definition of cultural appropriation, and it doesn't take into account the many important factors that are usually brought up when we talk about cultural appropriation, such as which culture is more dominant, who is profiting off of the use of these cultural elements, whether those cultures are minorities, and so on and so on. From watching the video, right, even his idea that what he's doing is appreciating the culture, the Indian culture, is sort of very tokenistic and almost flippant, because what does Indian wedding even mean? I mean, India is such a diverse country with so many different cultures and practices. I mean, that's as silly as me saying I had an American wedding. Yes, it doesn't really mean very much. Yeah. I mean, what is he appreciating beyond just putting on costumes and dancing to Bollywood music, which is sort of a extremely basic understanding of what someone's culture is.
Yeah, it just looked like an advertisement on steroids, to
exactly,
be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Nas has 13 million followers on Facebook, and that's a lot. And Nas obviously has a lot of influence when it comes to the work he puts out. So I personally find it very troubling when he, produces a video like this. He oversimplifies and misrepresents a complex idea like cultural appropriation, which, as you explained, Sharmila, there's so many more layers to it. And without understanding the issues of the culture that you are looking at. And also, I'm personally not sure if I would call his fake Indian wedding cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. I do feel that it was self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already used advertisement on steroids, right? So I can't say that again. Self-serving and frankly quite pointless.
Yeah.
But what irked me was then his very flippant way of addressing the criticisms that came to him. Because if people are criticizing you for something that you're not familiar with, take that into account rather than brushing it off and criticizing the concept of cultural appropriation.
Exactly. So. And the very fact that, see, the original video was from last year, and he's actually put out this video specifically to call out those people who made, who seem to disagree with him, right? Mm. Which means it's a very intentional sort of, here, I'm going to explain this to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's very flippant and the tone of it is very combative and I know better than everyone else, which personally for me is the problem.
Yeah.
Mm. And this isn't exactly the first time that NAS has presented these simplified views of complex cultural and political issues. So just last year, he attracted a lot of criticism for a video calling Singapore, and I quote, an almost perfect country.
Mm.
So, after that video came out, many prominent Singaporeans, including playwright Alfian Sa'at and cartoonist Sunny Liu, called him out for ignoring the realities of people living in the country. And in response, NAS has called them quote-unquote crybabies, and they should try living in the Middle East for a while.
Yeah, I mean, and let's not forget, for those of you who don't know, Nas has since relocated to Singapore with his production company. And, he's got videos with PM Lee Hsien Loong, with other ministers, and he does seem to be quite chummy with the people in charge, let's say. So there's I don't want to assume, but obviously people who are from Singapore are going to find this to be rather disingenuous.
Yeah, and I'm not going to draw cause and effect, but Singapore does give tax breaks to to yes. foreign companies wanting to set up their productions there. So.
Yeah, and he's also attracted criticism for oversimplifying the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And as a Palestinian who was born in Israel, so Nas himself has made several videos on this issue of the conflict between the two countries, and his message tends to focus on saying both sides of the conflict are to blame and that people need to, quote-unquote, move on. But this overlooks many complex issues like the decades of illegal Israeli occupation and the unequal power dynamic between Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, I mean, even in this cultural appropriation video that he made, right? One of the examples he uses is how Israel and Palestine fight over hummus and say that, Palestine accuses Israel of appropriating hummus. Mm. I mean, it's just a very, very silly and simplistic example of a much larger and complex issue. Obviously, when Palestinians and Israelis have, issues about who the culture belongs to, it's not because of hummus.
Obviously
it's
not,
about decades of feeling victimized and of conflict, and that's where that's coming from.
Mm.
So to get some insight into handling complex topics when putting out content, when sharing discussions or thoughts, I spoke to BFM's own Hanif Baharuddin, and here's what he had to say. So Hanif, as producer of shows like Bila Larut Malam and I Love KL, where you do work on some pretty complex topics, but presented in a very accessible manner, how do you balance between maintaining that complexity while also making sure that a general audience can appreciate the show?
Okay, well, this is actually quite broad. I'm going to try and I think widen the scope by talking about how I approach my shows in general. I think I try to be a bit more nuanced in understanding the multiple layers that are available when it comes to approaching any shows, regardless of whether it's like, even if it's not as complex, I still adopt the same approach, especially because I feel like sometimes we tend to be trapped in our own bubbles and also our own biases. So I think it's always good to sort of like think about the nuances surrounding certain issues and certain topics. And I think it's not just an approach that I adopt for those shows like Bila Larut Malam or even I Love KL. It's something that I adopt as a producer in general, so that I'm able to take into factor a lot of other considerations that might sometimes be missed by other producers or, you know, people just in general. Yeah, it's always good to sort of like at least try to, maybe because sometimes you don't have enough time to sort of like present everything. But at least as a producer, you need to have those considerations in mind. Mm. Yeah.
So when we do make shows for the online world in particular, sometimes, you know, making them short, making them snappy is something that is quite a focus. So what are your thoughts on platforms that do take complex topics, but then present them in these very condensed and very short formats?
Yeah, that seems to be the problem these days, right? I think because, I mean, we are all content producers, so we know the struggle between trying to get the attention of our audiences, especially because these days the attention span is very, very short, right? You are trying, and because of a lot of other factors, you are competing with a lot of other different media as well, different distractions. You have to sort of like think of innovative ways to produce a content that is short and succinct and also enjoyable and maybe enlightening enough, right? So I think people tend, especially content creators, they tend to fall into that trap of thinking about, oh, okay, so how do we condense especially complex issues into a short 1 minute video or 1 minute, you know, edumacial, informational, or like 2 minute, three minutes, right? And because people, they don't want to spend time watching like a 5 minute or not even 5 minute, like a 10, 20 minute video explaining complex issues, right? So when we fall into that trap, as content producers, we find the need to, okay, let's try and condense as much information as we can into this 3 minute video or into this 1 minute video, and this is something I'm struggling with as well, because as a content producer, while I understand the need to retain our audience's attention, I always feel the need that sometimes there are certain issues that you can't just explain in 3 minutes, especially when it comes to these issues having those nuances that we have to always take into factor, right? So that's the reason why I think all of my shows, I'm not good at that format. So I try to sort of like, okay, you know what? If it takes 20 minutes to explain, then maybe it deserves 20 minutes to explain. And unfortunately, maybe the audience need to spend that extra 10 minutes, the extra 12 minutes to sort of like just watch and understand this issue.
So it's interesting that you use the term content producer, because it's true these days, people who produce content are not just journalists. You also have social media personalities. We have celebrities. We have bloggers. Now, do we hold these personalities who are not necessarily from a journalistic background, neither do they claim to be doing journalism, do we also hold them responsible or accountable to make sure that they are accurately presenting these issues?
That's a good question, because I think to a certain extent, there is an expectation for these content producers that may not have necessarily be from a journalistic background to sort of like, you know, be talking about these issues. I think because some people would like to like, oh, so I know you're a like beauty blogger, but what's your take on that particular issue, right? What's your take on this particular issue that may or may not affect you? But because you're a personality, we would like to hear your thoughts on these issues, right? So when that expectation comes onto you, I think to a certain extent, you need to sort of like live by it. But because, again, these days, everybody can produce content, right? So they may not necessarily recognize the burden and the expectation that is put on them. So I think it goes both ways. They need to, again, content producers, I think we all need to have that self-awareness to sort of like know that, okay, there is a certain expectation put on us to uphold and to be a bit more meticulous in our approach when it comes to producing content. We need to at least, we don't need to be journalistic about it, but we need to at least uphold certain journalistic values and at least learn about it so that we can be fair to the subjects or the subjects that we tackle.
That was BFM's own Hanif Baharuddin, who is the presenter and producer of shows like Bila Larut Malam and I Love KL.
I loved his perspective, because he talks about that struggle. And from that struggle is where you can reflect and you can look on your work and make sure that you are at least trying put forth as many perspectives as you can about an issue.
Yeah, or at least understand that if this is the limitations of your form, if you are only doing 1 minute videos, then perhaps cater your content to that and not try and take on something that is so much
as
more
big
complex.
Cultural appropriation, and still think that you can get away with that 1 minute treatment and a very flippant treatment as well.
Right.
We have on social media, on WhatsApp, somebody asking, is Nas going to get a fake Indian divorce too, where he makes the ex return the wedding jewelry and then accuses her of not putting him on enough of a pedestal? Oh, hashtag. Dear. This may or may not be a real life experience. Let's see, shall we?
I mean, that's a very funny comment. But I think it points to a more important issue, which I was thinking of when I watched this video as well, because he keeps saying things like, oh, the Indian wedding is the best thing about being in India, blah, blah, blah. Mm. There are many, many issues that are inherent in India with things like weddings and how women are treated and gender and dowries. I'm not saying he needs to address them mm-hmm. in a video that is ultimately a travel blog, but at the same time, just this very flippant treatment of what he's presenting, mm-hmm. It may not be appropriation, but it's not respectful either. And mm-hmm. I don't think it's appreciation at all.
Another comment from Lily. Nas Daily is now becoming Nas Tea Daily to me.
Oh, dear.
She feels that technically he's not really wrong, but his condescending attitude when addressing issues like this really rubs her the wrong way. And if he really wants to display an appreciation for the culture of India, he doesn't have to do a fake wedding. Why not just ask the people of that culture to show or let him record a walkthrough with their permission of how a wedding ceremony is done by the Indians?
That's yeah.
Very good point.
Yeah, I mean, just watching that video, all I see is just people having fun. Like, it's a party, essentially, a themed party. If they didn't mention that it was a wedding, you could just see it and not realize that it was a wedding.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is also that in the original video that he did, he might call it a fake wedding, but they are enacting actual religious rituals. Mm-hmm. You can see them doing it in the video. Now, it may not mean very much to him, but it does mean something to people who believe in those things. And inherently, then you are enacting rituals or religious rituals, to which you're not being very respectful towards either. Mm. So I don't know. I just think that for me, at the end of the day, it's this question of when you are a, when you're a social media personality and you're putting out content like this, you're not a journalist. Is it fair to hold them to a certain standard?
And they should be. I mean, like yes, you perhaps when you first put out the video, you don't really know what you're doing. But nowadays, you often have people from a lot of different perspectives commenting on what you did, giving.
He's got 13 million followers. Mm.
And a lot of times people are giving constructive criticism as well. It's understanding what people are saying, taking in what they're saying and learning from that and not just creating another video to get more likes.
Yeah. So that to me, that's why I hesitated, because I feel we're in this trap. I don't see the trend of these kinds of videos and the way social media personalities create content. I don't see it changing because it works. He's got his 30 million followers. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't care about the integrity of his content, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, on that note, we do need to wrap up this discussion.
Okay.
But we're asking you a question on social media about our story that's coming up.
So the National Art Gallery or Balai Seni Negara is holding an exhibition of Leonardo da Vinci's paintings from now until August. But these are actually high-tech digital reproductions. So we're asking you, is this really art? You can take the poll or send us other thoughts at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 7733-2900.
So we'll be back after a short break to talk about that. But first, here's It Don't Mean a Thing by Duke Ellington on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.